From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Oh, do we have a program for you tonight? Hold on to your chair. Next hour, was Judas really a friend of Jesus? Reaction from Dr. Ken Hansen, an expert on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Well, here we go. Perhaps the showdown with Iran. Iran defying United Nations Security Council demands to halt, to stop its nuclear program, may now be capable of making a nuclear bomb within 16 days, according to a U.S. State Department official. Iran will move to industrial-scale uranium enrichment involving 54,000 centrifuges at its Natanz plant, according to the Associated Press, quoting the deputy nuclear chief Mohammad Sadi as telling state-run television. The U.S. fears Iran is pursuing a nuclear program to make weapons, while Iran says it is intent on purely civilian purposes, merely to provide energy. Sadi says 54,000 centrifuges will be able to enrich uranium to provide fuel for a 1,000-megawatt nuclear power plant similar to the one Russia is finishing in southern Iran. So we could have a severe problem. While all this is going on, the world's leading powers have joined in the chorus of condemnation of Iran for advancing its atomic program in defiance of the United Nations. Now, the Iranian president has declared that Iran had produced its first batch of enriched uranium and would now press ahead with the industrial-scale enrichment. His announcement kept Iran on a collision course with the United Nations Security Council. In just a moment, we're going to go to Jerome Corsi, an expert on Iran, his book Atomic Iran, and get his take on all of this. In the last few minutes before United Flight 93 crashed into a rural Pennsylvania field on September 11, hijackers aboard the plane ordered passengers to shut up and sit as they issued a terrifying message. We have a bomb on board. You might recall on Coast to Coast several months ago, I played an excerpt, the tape, of the air traffic controllers talking to the hijackers out of that plane's cockpit. And you could hear them say, we have a bomb on board. And they were being relayed back with the information from other pilots who were flying in the vicinity. Federal prosecutors seeking the execution of Zacharias Moussaoui placed the jury aboard the doomed flight, sort of, when they played a recording in which the hijackers were heard giving orders to the passengers. It was the first time the cockpit voice recording was played publicly, they say, and was used as evidence as the jury decided whether to give Moussaoui, an admitted terrorist conspirator, the death sentence. Now, we did have some of the tape, not the entire tape that they played in court. The number of people with medical problems linked to the 9/11 attacks on New York has risen now to at least 15,000. The figure put together for the BBC counts those receiving treatment for problems related to breathing in heavy dust. Many of the victims say the government offered false reassurances that the Manhattan air was safe and are now pursuing a class action lawsuit. On Tuesday, a coroner said the death of a policeman who developed a respiratory disease was linked directly to 9/11. Recent images of seas of illegal aliens marching in cities across the United States are having a far greater negative impact than positive impact on the foreigners' cause, according to a new poll. A Zogby survey of nearly 8,000 people shows coast-to-coast protests against immigration proposals in Congress, particularly to make it a federal felony to be an illegal worker in the U.S., have not persuaded a majority of likely American voters. June Pointer, the youngest of the Pointer sisters, known for the 70s and 80 hits, as this one, I'm So Excited, Fire and Slow Hand. She's died of cancer. According to her family, she was only 52. Pointer died at Santa Monica University of California Hospital, the medical center there. The family said this in a statement. She had been hospitalized over the last several months. The type of cancer was not disclosed. Great group of singers. June Pointer dead at the age of 52. In a moment, we are going live to Jerome Corsi, Jerry Corsi, our friend, and talk with him about atomic Iran and how close we are to some kind of military conflict with that country in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Jerry Corsi received his PhD from Harvard University in political science, and he has written many books and articles. He's an expert on political violence and terrorism. In 1981, he received a top secret clearance from the Agency for International Development, where he assisted in providing anti-terrorism hostage survival training to embassy personnel. In 2005, Dr. Corsi helped launch the Iran Freedom Foundation, which is a not-for-profit educational and charitable organization established to educate the public about the Islamic Republic of Iran and to promote freedom in the region. Jerry, I sense and I feel and I fear the great showdown is coming. How about you?
Well, George, I agree with you entirely. It's a great honor, first of all, to be back with you.
Thank you.
But Iran is moving at a determined pace now to be able to actually enrich uranium. And as I wrote in Atomic Iran, I thought they were going to do it quickly. They've accomplished this. They opened Natanz, their uranium enrichment facility, in January. And now, 4 months later, they're really able to announce that they have been able to master the process of taking 164 cascades centrifuge configuration and being able to separate the isotopes of uranium to produce uranium-235. That's a major technical accomplishment, and they did it in a very short period of time. And I've cautioned the world not to consider the Iranians as stupid because they have a zealous religious agenda. These are highly intelligent people with a long culture of accomplishment, some 4,000 years of accomplishment. And they're extremely well-funded, $200 million a day that they get in oil windfall profits. So they've got all the technical advice they need in the world, and they're going to go from here to the last steps. I say they really only have one more step to go to make a bomb, and that is to get the uranium-235 in enough quantity and into a metallized form they need to put into a warhead. And they're well along the path of accomplishing that, George, and I'm saying they're going to have it done before the end of the year.
Well, Jerry, according to U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for International Security and Nonproliferation, Stephen Rademacher, telling reporters in Moscow, they're 16 days away from producing a nuclear bomb. Now, is that rhetoric? Is he trying to drum up Iraqi-type support, weapons of mass destruction, here we go? Or is this really a true story?
Well, I think he was reacting, George, to the idea that Iran had 50,000 centrifuge cascades already in place. If they had 50,000 cascade centrifuges already, 50,000 different machines, centrifuges, arranged in a cascade, so one goes into the other, then yes, 16 days would be all they would need to make a bomb. They don't have the 50,000 centrifuges yet set up. What Iran said today was that by the end of the year, they would have 3,000 set up. Now, that's all they need to make enough uranium really for one bomb, but it's a little bit slower if that's how many they have. So the statement that you just quoted was not wrong, but they're not quite at that technical point yet. What I'm saying is they're going to get there very fast because they have a lot of money. They have excellent technical expertise, and they're not trying to do anything, fundamentally new, George, in theoretical research in atomic physics. They're just trying to technically engineer a process that's been done many times over around the world. We here in the United States do it at several different locations, including Rocky Flats in Colorado. And with millions of dollars, they can buy the experts they need to fly in there to Iran and help them very easily put together the cascades to get to where they need for metallized uranium.
And part of the problem too, Jerry, is regardless of Iran's real and true intent here, its president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, this guy is nuts. I mean, he's threatening, he's bullying. He's already said he's going to blow off Israel off the face of the map. He's said some other crazy things. He doesn't believe that the Holocaust even happened. And, here we are with Passover beginning today, and you've got this guy running around the world saying all these things. Had he been out of the picture, had this rhetoric from him not come forward, I have a feeling the United Nations would continue with its diplomacy to try to get Iran to do something. But the fact that we've got this guy running around claiming that he's going to blow Israel off the map, there's something wrong here.
Well, I think, George, you hit upon the exact key point. You're right on. Ahmadinejad is a religious zealot. He believes in the Shiite religion that there is almost a messianic vision, that there is this Mahdi, who is a lost imam, lost holy man, who as a boy in something like 941 A.D. went down a well, if you can believe it, and disappeared. And they believe that this imam, the Mahdi, is going to come out of that well. And when he comes out of that well, it's going to be like a messianic vision. Then that's the point at which Islam triumphs around the world and beats all other religions. The problem, George, is they think that it's going to take an apocalypse to bring the Mahdi out of the well. That's the precondition for the second coming of this lost holy man. And Ahmadinejad truly believes this. 2 days ago, when he said that Iran had mastered uranium enrichment, he also told Iranians that the return of the Mahdi was imminent. And certainly a nuclear war against Israel, which he, as you correctly point out, proclaimed many times, would be the kind of apocalypse that would condition the Mahdi coming back and would realize this messianic vision that Ahmadinejad and others in Iran truly believe in. It's a very frightening idea.
Several things have happened over the last couple of days, Jerry. One, the first week of June, over the desert in the Las Vegas area, they are going to detonate one of these huge bunker bombs that they claim will put a mushroom cloud over Las Vegas. And they basically want to tell everybody, hey, we just want you to know about this. Don't panic. This is a test. I have a feeling we want the Iranians to see this destruction of this weapon. And so that's a month or so away. The other issue at hand is there was a story that broke last week that said that this administration is preparing nuclear weapons against Iran. Would we go that far? Do we need to use nuclear weapons to take out their, you know, nuclear making capabilities?
Well, George, certainly the tactical nukes that we have and that Israel have would be very effective against the deep down into the earth facilities that Iran has built and hardened with concrete. They could be attacked with conventional bunker buster bombs, but the nuclear ones would, quite frankly, be more effective. And when I was in Israel about a year ago, I knew both that Israel and the United States were looking at that alternative, and it could well be used. And the test you point out in Nevada is scheduled, has been planned, and is meant as a demonstration to Iran, just as about a year ago, we sold Iran a bunch of bunker buster conventional bombs, and that had to be disclosed to the Senate, and we did that as a demonstration. The problem is Iran doesn't care. If they're planning for an apocalypse, they'd be happy if anything triggered a nuclear war. What people listening have to get through their minds is that Iran is planning to have a nuclear war in our time, imminently, as soon as they can make it happen. And they don't care what the rest of the world has done. They don't care about sanctions. They're going to do what they want because they are on this messianic vision, and they think they've reached the point of no return where they can do it now themselves without anybody else helping them and without anybody else stopping them.
What about a coup within Iran before any of this really hits the fan?
Well, you know, George, you're again on a very important point. That's why I, you know, last year walked 200 miles. I led a freedom walk from Philadelphia, the Liberty Bell, all the way to Washington, D.C., the White House, and we broadcast into Iran. The State Department at that time would not support regime change in Iran. They did not provide the funding for groups like mine. I think, George, it's too late. There's not enough time. And in the last year, this Iranian regime, which is extremely repressive on its own people, have tightened the repression. They put internet bloggers in jail. If you protest, you're going to be photographed. You'll be imprisoned or disappear. Protest activity in Iran is a matter of life and death, and the regime holds all the force. So right now, despite the regime being unpopular, I don't see the conditions there where a popular democracy or a revolt from within could happen. I don't think it's a real possibility anymore. Too much time has passed, and the time now is too short.
Now, here's another thing that really bothers me, and that is Russia is finishing in southern Iran a nuclear power plant. We don't hear a lot about this, Jerry. This is a very serious situation as well, in that if we blow up these plants, we could take some Russians with us. Some people will say, too bad, they shouldn't be there in the first place. But what's Russia going to do when we inadvertently kill some of their countrymen?
Well, that's right, George. And also, Russia just in December sold $1 billion worth of what's a Tor M1 surface-to-air missile system, a defense mobile system, very advanced, the Russians have developed. And they sold it to Iran because Iran wants to put those systems in around their nuclear facilities to make them harder to attack by air. Russia is an ally of Iran, as is China. China just did a $100 billion deal for energy with Iran for the next decade or two. Iran's going to become the biggest supplier of oil to China. Now, both of those countries, Russia and China, are going to block any sanctions at the UN. And if we do start having an attack on Iran, it's unpredictable what Russia and China will do in reaction. We could be very quickly at a Cuban missile kind of standoff with Russia and China over Iran. And I see it going in that direction.
See, and I think the Iranians have gone too far with this enrichment program. During all this rhetoric, Jerry, over the last couple months, where you have been on Coast to Coast quite often as we've talked about this, they haven't stopped. They haven't slowed down. Quite frankly, I think they've just merely bought themselves time while they continued developing this. This is a very serious problem. I don't know if we have the capability or the resources by ourselves to do this. But I think Israel is going to strike because they can ill afford to have this guy come up with a nuclear weapon. And then once this thing is done, if it ever gets done, then we got to worry about North Korea.
Well, you know, George, you're exactly right. And I commend you because, you know, when I wrote Atomic Iran a year ago, it was published. I've been working on this 2 years. You were among the first bringing this to your audience. And today, things that we were talking about 2 years ago are now happening in the newspapers and the headlines. This is reality. The Iranians invented the game of chess. They're experts at maneuvering. They understand tactics. They're brilliant people. The Iranians, a million of them here in the United States, are all highly successful people professionally. These are highly intelligent people. Because Ahmadinejad has this messianic vision, don't think that he's stupid. He's an extremely successful politician. He knows what he's doing. And all this time they bought, George, as I've come on your show, and thank you for the opportunity, we've tried to educate the audience to know that they have used this time successfully. They opened up Isfahan going back to November last year, or August actually last year. They produced from uranium ore, uranium hexafluoride gas. Now they've opened Natanz. Took them 4 months at Isfahan. It's taken them 4 months at Natanz. I give them 8 months from here, and they'll have uranium metal to make a simple gun-type bomb. I've been saying that. Everything we've been talking about, George, has happened. Everything I've written scares me, and Atomic Iran is coming true. And I'm now saying the world needs to listen to us again, because in 8 months, before the end of the year, Iran's going to have the capability of making one or more bombs.
This is the calm before the storm, I'm afraid, Jerry.
Well, you're right, George. And what we're facing right now is the complete breakdown of international diplomacy. It almost reminds me of the period before World War II, when Neville Chamberlain rushed into Hitler and tried to appease him in Munich. The EU3 of Great Britain, Germany, and France were trying to negotiate with the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, with Iran now intensively for a year, really for 2 years, and they've gotten nowhere. Iran's played the Bush administration for fools. They think Condi Rice can be taken, along with John Bolton, at the Security Council, and so far they're proving right.
Stay with us, Jerry. We're going to take phone calls with you in just a moment. The lines will be opened in seconds right here on Coast to Coast AM. Couple things. First of all, next hour, we join Dr. Ken Hansen as we talk about the incredible story of the Gospels of Judas. Was he indeed Jesus's best friend? We're going to talk with Ken about that and some other things about the Dead Sea Scrolls as we approach Easter. And of course, we're into Passover now. So it's a perfect time to talk with Dr. Hansen about this. By the way, we are now at 66% of our goal for Children International. I want to thank all of you for that. But we have 34% of the way to go, so we still need your help. $18 a month for a one-year commitment. Go to the coasttocoastam.com website, left-hand side, look at the yellow flashing banner. Click that. That'll take you right to Children International. You'll be able to help and sponsor a child. Let's try to wrap this up this week if we can do that. And also, Amazon.com, they have our book, Worker in the Light, up there for sale now, pre-advance orders. The book comes out September 19th. They are discounting it right now. Take advantage of it and go to Amazon.com. Up there under books, you can type in either my name or the name of the book, Worker in the Light. And as you know, I'm personally giving away some of the proceeds that I receive to needy coast-to-coast families who have already sent me the information they need, and I've got lots of them. So thank you, support them, and we'll be back in a moment. You know, Jerry, I pulled out my telescope today, and I took a look at the moon, the full moon it is, just about, probably is today, as a matter of fact. Jupiter, I spotted its four moons, and I'm telling you, I said to myself, what a gorgeous universe we live in. I sure hope, regardless of what's going to happen over the next few years, that we as human beings can get all this behind us and really start building a future and a life for everyone on this planet, instead of all this fighting, bickering, and wars, which unfortunately has been around since the beginning of time.
Well, George, I couldn't agree with you more, and I look forward to reading your new book. I think you're going to say some really important things to help human beings advance to the next levels. We need to. I mean, what Ahmadinejad is talking about, that he wants to wipe out Israel, this old, tired, anti-Semitic rhetoric that goes back to Hitler, we've got to get beyond this as a race. We have to quit hating each other. It produces wars, death, destruction, holocausts. This is not why God placed this on earth. We're here to advance, create, multiply, which we can do. And Ahmadinejad is headed towards another attempt to wipe out Israel, kill Jews, and it means it as much as Hitler meant it. Hitler never had atomic weapons. Hitler wanted them, never got them. If this madman gets nuclear weapons, I wrote an Atomic Iran. We've been talking about it, George, for well over a year on your show to your listeners. He's going to use the weapons he's got, because terrorists they just don't stockpile weapons. They use them because they're afraid somebody's going to take them away. And if this madman gets a nuclear weapon, Israel will have to strike before he does it, hopefully, because they don't want to wake up and have a 9/11, atomic 9/11 over Tel Aviv. Israel is a one-bomb state. One even simple Hiroshima-type bomb detonated over Tel Aviv would destroy the modern Jewish state as we know it, and that would send the world into possibly a nuclear conflagration. I think we're headed for it. A Bay of Pigs-type showdown and, another crisis over the missile crisis that we had with Cuba coming between Russia, the United States, and China. It's a very, very frightening time we're in right now, George, and everything here we're talking about is fully documented in the headlines. We're giving the inside of it. We've been doing that for over a year, and listeners really need to understand that if Iran is announcing they've enriched uranium, they're only about 8 months away from having the capability of making a bomb of their own.
And I have to tell you, Jerry, I am ashamed at the performance of the United Nations in everything I've seen them touch. I don't think they've handled one thing well.
The United Nations, George, you're exactly right, has become an anti-American debating society. The attempt by Condoleezza Rice and John Bolton to take the Iranian issue before the United Nations is commendable. But it's a fool's errand, because Russia and China, who are allies with strong economic interests and military interests with Iran, are going to block, veto any significant sanctions. And the United States is really checkmated there by Iran, the people who invented chess, before we even get going. And without effective sanctions, which could yet be done, but they're very difficult to get the will politically to put in place. The Iranians have put some $300-400 billion into Dubai. They're a great friend, their refuge, the mullahs' escape ground and playground. The Bush administration's got to immediately use all of our relations with Dubai and see if we can't impound that money. I don't think it'll happen, George. I think the Iranians are right. They have 10% of the world's oil and natural gas. They're getting $200 million a day in windfall profits. There's no sanctions we're going to impose right now. They're going to even phase them. And they're well along the way to getting buying all the nuclear talent they need and making a bomb.
Would we be doing the same thing right now if Venezuela, under Chavez, was working on its nuclear capability?
Well, that's a very good question, George. I don't think we would. I think we would be intervening strongly in Venezuela. I think we're going to have to look at it. Venezuela, by the way, is one of the top friends of Iran, one of their best supporters, along with Castro and Cuba. But you're right, George. We do not have the will here, again, to intervene with Iran. The president is going to be under another huge debate. We're going to go back, well, the president didn't have accurate intelligence in Iraq. There were no weapons of mass destruction. How do we know there really are weapons being made, nuclear bombs, in Iran? Iran's going to, unfortunately, the Bush administration cried wolf, but sometimes there actually is a wolf, and this time there really is a wolf. It's Ahmadinejad. He really wants to bring back this Mahdi, this apocalyptic messianic vision. He's making a bomb. The Shahab 3 missile is now solid fuel ready. It was tested in January. The warhead has been adapted to take a nuclear bomb, and they're enriching uranium now. All they have to do is metallize it, get that small enough to put into a weapon, and I'm saying that'll happen within 8 months. In 8 months, we'll be at H hour.
Well, and I think they may even be working faster. They may be doing it around the clock. Jerry, we're going to go to calls. I saw them build a new Bush Stadium here in St. Louis in record time.
Well, that's
there
right.
There was no way I thought they were going to get that thing ready for baseball this year. They worked 24 hours a day, three shifts. They got it done. And that was right out there for all of us to see. This thing went up like an anthill. I mean, I've never seen anything like it before. I have a feeling that underneath the table of what you see the Iranians doing, they have a bunker of some facility, and they've been working on this for a long time. I just think they may have something already.
You're right, George. Your intuition is right on. They have double-tracked this. While a scientific team has been working for years to know how to enrich uranium to uranium-235, another different team has been working on how to metallize it, to miniaturize it, and put it into a weapon warhead. And those two teams are very advanced, and it's going to be like the Bush Stadium, as you just pointed out. In remarkably short time, they're going to accomplish their technical goals.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello. Yep, your turn.
George and Jerry, this is Greg in Clearwater.
Sure, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, my question is right on to everything you guys have said. I mean, I'm glued to the radio. The problem I have is the feeling of helplessness, of like, what can the little individual do about it? I mean, this is so huge. It just makes all of us feel helpless, because none of us want the conflicts, but how do you change it? How does the individual deal with it? I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I'll tell you, that is a great question, George. Great question your caller had. The Iranian file is in Dick Cheney's office. Liz Cheney is handling it. John Hanna, one of the top assistants to the vice president. I've met with John Hanna. call them up in the White House. Call up the Vice President in the White House. Call your congressmen and senators and say, do something about Iran now. They'll listen. Even 10 calls into the White House or 10 calls into your congressmen and senators makes a difference. They listen. They listen to your calls. Get on the phone and tell them to do something about this now before we have nuclear war, because that's where we're headed.
You know, even if Iran was toppled by, let's say, internal forces, it's still an unstable country. Would we, even if we had a sympathetic government there to us, allow them to continue any kind of nuclear program? I don't think so.
Well, George, that's another incredibly good question. You know, that's why I took this 200-mile walk a year ago. I desperately wanted the State Department to engage in regime change the same way we worked with the Ukraine and got peaceful change from within. I think we've missed the window on that. What I wrote on Atomic Iran, which I fear is a prediction that's going to happen, is it'll come down to the Samson option, which is that Israel just can't take anymore. The inability of the world to diplomatically solve this problem, and Israel decides to strike Iran militarily. And I believe what will happen then is that the United States will have to participate in the military strike. Like, the plans have already been developed. I wish they would not have to be used. It's a terrible alternative. It has a lot of horrible consequences. But I don't think Israel will wait.
Well, and I've got to tell you, Jerry, with Israel having to battle the Hamas militants who have taken over control of the Palestinian Authority, and with this Iranian situation and this nut job saying what he's been saying, I think Israel has shown incredible restraint. And like you've just said, I don't think they're going to take it anymore.
They'll get to the point where they don't. You know, Israel looks to the left of them, to the right of them. They've got Hamas, who's sworn to destroy Israel. They're in control of the Palestinian parliament, Palestinian Authority now. On the West Bank, they're going to be moved into. They're already into the Gaza. Here's Iran. Iran to the right of them. Iran has got nuclear weapon development. They say they're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. There's never been a more critical period in history for the existential survival of Iran. It's almost at a biblical moment that we're approaching here. And the Israelis have done everything they could with the Sharon government, now with Olmert. They've worked to give back territory. They've stayed on the road map to peace that both President Bush laid out and President Clinton laid out. And despite that, they just keep getting slapped in the face by these groups who are increasing in power, Hamas in Iran, saying they want to destroy Israel. Now they're going to try to do it with nuclear weapons. That's the next chapter.
And you are right, Jerry. We are close to biblical proportions of events. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Brad from Salt Lake.
Hi, Brad.
Got a comment and a question. Question first. I'd like to hear the thoughts of you and Jerry. I see similarities. You know, when we had the 911 attack, the 911 tragedy, I guess is a good word for it. The United States had tests. They had military drills in progress. All the U.S. defenses, NORAD, FAA, and they were, you know, had a hypothetical attack on the World Trade Center. And if you take a look at the bombings in London, they had a drill in progress there, too.
Yes, they did.
And they got hit. And now we hear a lot of talk about this mushroom cloud over Las Vegas. And what are the possibilities that this, you know, all of this publication and or, you know, the informing the public and stuff, that just might be a Trojan horse. What are the possibilities, as far as you see it, that we might actually have some type of a nuclear conflagration taking out Las Vegas?
Well, I don't think the threat is really to Las Vegas. I think that Las Vegas will be used as a demonstration for Iran to see that we really mean it, we're serious. But I do think that if Israel attacks Iran, which I think is coming in the Samson option, you're going to see the world go to DEFCON 1 in about 2 microseconds, because nobody's going to know what's going to fly after that. And we're going to have to look the Soviets and the Chinese square into the eye and say, do you guys want to push the button now or not? That's around the corner. And if the world cannot diplomatically stop Ahmadinejad, he wants that to come around the corner because he thinks that's what it'll take to bring the Mahdi back, this messianic vision of the imam that was lost in 941. And when the imam comes back in this apocalypse, Ahmadinejad and Ayatollah Yazdi, his spiritual mentor, believes that's when Islam is going to triumph worldwide. And this is, you know, you almost feel like this is nutsy stuff to talk about, but it's all true. This is what Ahmadinejad said in front of the United Nations when he spoke to the United Nations in November. It's what he said 2 days ago in Iran when he announced that Iran had achieved the ability to produce uranium-235. So this is coming around the corner, and we just have to now get prepared for it. Everything we've been writing about, everything we've been talking about in George's show has come true as we've said it. And next things we're saying tonight is that Iran is within a year, within 8 months, of bringing the world at this point again of nuclear holocaust to the brink of a thermonuclear war. And that's what Iran wants to do.
A couple minutes to go. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Eli?
All right, Eli. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. I have a question because so much of what he's saying is just parroting the Bush's line of hype, and I think his administration has already been so discredited, not only with Iraq, but with what's happening ever since then. And my question is, why was the Pentagon itself just a few weeks ago saying it would probably take 3 to 5 years for Iran to develop a nuclear bomb?
If anyone reads the things I've been writing on places like WorldNetDaily.com or Human Events Online, you'll see that I've been very critical of the Bush administration myself. Where I'm critical is that I don't think the Bush administration has taken this seriously enough diplomatically. We could have had regime change.
I'd like an answer to that question.
Well, the Pentagon statement, there are reports all over the place. You can also go to the Washington Post. They've tried to quote defense people that say it's 10 years before they're going to have a bomb. There's projections all over the place.
That was the same thing that was happening with Iraq. There was a lot of credible people saying, no, this isn't real, you know.
Well, this one's different, though, Eli, because here we don't have, even though we can argue the merits of Iraq, we've got a president of Iran threatening to blow Israel off the face of the map.
Right. If we respond with violence, you yourself said that's very likely to draw in China and Russia, which would be a way huge more problem and cause World War III. And I think this loose talk of using nuclear weapons to go again and attack somebody prematurely is extremely...
Well, let me ask you this, Eli, because I've only got 30 seconds left. What would you do in this case?
I would go to, again, follow the money. Who's really behind this? The same thing as who was really behind 9/11. We're being set up here, and we need to pull the covers off the people who are really behind this.
All right, Jerry, we are going to get you back on for a bigger show because this is going to be a bigger story.